It is KZN's number one hit music station. That's East Coast Radio. And of course, since Monday, it has been 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children. And it is a United Nations campaign which takes place annually from the 25th of November all the way to the 10th of December, which is International Human Rights Day. Now, the theme for this year is 30 years of advancing collective action to end violence against women and children. Now, this year's campaign emphasizes addressing the root causes of GBV, as well as promoting positive masculinity, promoting gender equity, and of course, creating economic opportunities for women and children. Just looking at the numbers, more than 2,500 women and children were killed in the country between April and September this year. So on the line with me to discuss GBV in South Africa and whether or not are we actually making progress? Are we moving forward? I'm talking about intervention supervisor at Tears Foundation, Kavya Swaminathan. How are you, Kavya?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Oh, fantastic. It's always so interesting when we get to chatting around 16 days of activism, isn't it not?
I mean, it's the 16 days where everyone wants to talk about GBV in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the first question we go into is, how are we looking at South Africa? How is GBV stats? Are we doing any better than we did last year?
You know what I always say? I think stats are not a good indication of where we land with GBV. I think it's because crimes related to domestic violence and sexual offences are an underreported number, right? So I always say, take stats with a grain of salt. Because, for example, they just recently released a new batch of statistics that see a dip in everything. However, as like on the ground and grassroots organizations will tell you, people are still phoning in, people are still having the exact same struggles. Our call numbers aren't down, so people are still reaching out to us at the same rate. So I think that speaks more to people not reporting as much rather than crime stats have gone down, if that makes sense.
Now, a lot of the time around the table, people will say, but these 16 days of activism, do they really have any effect? And do they drive numbers down? Do they raise awareness? Are they really effective?
I think, you know what, 16 days is a really good campaign. I'm very happy that we have it. And I think the main point of the campaign is that you are really giving people a voice. You're allowing a surge of information that someone somewhere will see, even just a little snippet, and see, you know what, I relate to that. I'm not in a great situation. I need some assistance. So I think collective awareness and advocacy is always a good thing. And I think it really ties in very well with GBV because it's not a nice topic. It's not something we want to talk about. It's not something we can really engage with at, you know, like a fun family gathering or like dinner with friends. It is something shocking. And I think if you haven't been personally touched by it, if you aren't a survivor, you do tend to turn a blind eye. We tend to other GBV. It's something that happens to other people. It's not something that happens to me. So it's not a very approachable and accessible topic, especially in more rural areas where education is a big issue as well. So I think, you know, I think that's the prime takeaway. And I firmly believe that the more we talk about GBV, the more we can have insightful and engaging conversations just like this one, you could change someone's life because you're allowing someone to let a different perspective in, and that goes a long way.
And you know what I've learned through this process is that when one thinks of GBV, they think gender-based violence, and the only form of violence they can attribute it to is physical violence. Mm-hmm. But I've come to learn that GBV takes all sorts of forms. Can we unpack a few so that maybe someone is going through it right now and not realizing that they are a victim of gender-based violence?
Of course. So I think when we talk about GBV, I'd like to say that GBV is like one really big umbrella, right? Which, so when we say gender-based violence, it's any violence perpetrated against someone or any abuse perpetrated against someone that is rooted in their gender. So it can be perpetrated against women, it can be perpetrated against men, but the bias and the violence is stemmed from a bias held in someone's gender, whether it's even someone's gender identity. So for example, you'll see that members of the LGBTQI plus community do find themselves often being survivors of GBV because it kind of falls into that. So when we talk about violence, the main ball, like you said, is physical abuse. It's the bruises, it's the bumps, it's the slaps and all of that stuff. It's the thing that we relate to the most. And I think the reason for that, it's the most visual And it's the most concrete, right? You can go to someone and say, look, I have a black eye. Look, I have a broken bone. And I think sexual violence falls into that in some aspect. You can have horrifically violent rapes that happen or sexual assaults. I don't know how PC or what we can air on the radio, so I'm just being a bit careful. Sexual assaults that happen. But you can also get lesser, I won't say lesser forms of that, but more nuanced forms of that. So when you have molestation, when you have sexual harassment in the workplace, like those sly comments about your body or your clothing, those all fall under sexual abuse. Then you have the more, I would say in the shadows, not really talked about aspects, which would be verbal abuse. So someone can literally tear someone else down with just their words alone. And I always say that perpetrators are really smart. They know what pressure points to press to get their way, to assert their control, to make the other person feel less, which I think is a very good rule of thumb to use. Someone shared it with me the other day. If someone is doing something that makes you feel a little bit less, something's not right in that interaction. So that's a good rule for verbal abuse. And with verbal abuse, you get things like psychological and emotional abuse. So that's when you get things, you'll hear terms like gaslighting being thrown around, emotional manipulation, things like that. You also get financial abuse. So someone who either takes advantage of your finances or restricts the ability for you to be financially independent. So it can either be one person in the relationship taking advantage of someone else's salary, or it could be something like a partner not letting their spouse work. They say, no, I'll take care of it. I'll manage it. I want you to stay home with the kids or stay home and enjoy yourself. But then in that, you find you become more and more dependent on them. Other things that you can also see is spiritual abuse. So someone using someone's spiritual beliefs in order to control them. You'll get that a lot in like cults, for example. That's a good like analogy to think when you think about spiritual abuse. But abuse, you can think about like how cults work, how you can manipulate someone's faith to get them to do what you want, or you persecute against someone because they are of a different faith or religion from you. So yeah, I think I ran through the main hot buttons. Please let me know if I'm missing something or if there's anything you'd like me to expand on.
Yeah, no, I think you've painted quite a good picture there. Let's look back at 5 years ago when our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, referred to GBV as a pandemic in South Africa. Firstly, would you agree? And do you think we, as South Africa, as the government, have done enough?
I definitely think that is a pandemic. It's an epidemic. It's so rampant, and it's really is a scourge. That's the one word that he's used that I find myself using as well. It very much is a scourge. I think when it comes back to doing enough, I think so a lot, not many people know this, but South Africa has some of the greatest and most comprehensive legislation ever. We are inclusive. It's not gendered. It's very expansive. For example, our Domestic Violence Act actually speaks to and includes and has like limitations and not limitations, but it includes and allows for things like financial abuse and verbal abuse and all of those things. So it's highly comprehensive. I think what we struggle with is follow through. I think that a lot of our GBV initiatives and survivor-centric initiatives are underfunded, and the people who are engaged in them and dealing directly with them are not trained to the level that they need to be. So I think that's when you're really seeing poor things. For example, there's a lot of inconsistency. Someone will say, I went to this magistrate court and I was helped very amazingly, and everything was very swift and firm. However, when I went to this magistrate court, it wasn't. So things like that really do play a part. So it's really like really follow through. It's the I think that would be, I think, our biggest flaw. And I think that's where we've our systems have really left our survivors down, let our survivors down.
Right. Now, speaking about the Tears Foundation, for someone who's never encountered what Tears does, how do you explain to them what you do as an NPO?
So our main focus is to promote health and healing, right? So we say we bring hope and healing to people. So we were started some 20 odd years ago by our founder, Mara Glennie, and she's a survivor herself. And what she found is that after, like, being subjected to so much abuse, she walked into a police station to report her abuser, and she was turned away. And that's basically the whole foundation of Tears. We want people who are going through horrible situations to have a place to turn to where they can gain assistance. So we try to look at abuse as holistically as possible. It's not just a simple, oh, you've been through a traumatic situation, here's some counseling. It's looking at it more holistically. It's creating exit strategies. It's helping you manage your finances. It's getting you those counseling services, but also walking through how to report it to the police, what medical assistance you'll need, what to expect when you walk into a police station or a hospital for this kind of case. So it's trying to address it as holistically as possible and trying to be as survivor-centric as possible. Because at the end of the day, that is the person who needs help. That's the person who needs to be the focus of our attention.
Right. Staying with survivors, there is many listening to us right now that are in relationships, in environments that are literally just as toxic can be, with GBV at the center of it all. And they're listening right now. What do you say to a woman right now who's just stuck?
I think the big message I can leave you with is that there is help. There are people who care. We care at Tears. If you even just don't feel like you're
sorry Kavya, you're cutting out there. If you can start your response again.
Can you hear me? Ooh, there we go. Sorry, can you grab me now?
Yes, I got you now. Yes, if you can give us your answer again.
No, it's just, I think the biggest message I want to leave a survivor with is that you're not alone. That's the most important thing. We're here to walk this journey with you, and this is not something we talk about, but I think the stats show like 1 in 3 women, 1 in 7 men. That's a lot of people. So you're not alone. And if you need assistance, please do reach out. I think that's the message I want to leave everyone with.
Well, Kavya, thank you so much for taking time to chat to us. We hope this 16 days will definitely open the eyes and the hearts of some women that are listening, that they decide to take a stand and fight for their lives in this really crazy world that we live in. So thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Carol Ofori, KZN's #1 hit music station, East Coast Radio.